The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Baba Yakubu. In the headlines, Vice President Emisa Afa asked people of Western Region to vote massively for NDC to continue laudable programs under the Better Ghana agenda. Institute of Democratic Governance, IDEG, praises civil society groups for vigilance in country's democratic experiment. Majority leader denies impeding work of committee on subsidiary legislation. Imani Ghana says single spine pay policy is diversionary. Sudan and South Sudan reach comprehensive agreement to demilitarize their border and resume transportation of oil through northern pipelines. Israel says time is running out for the world to stop Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons, but Tehran warns of massive retaliation if attacked, and U.S. State Department withdraws more staff from Libya over security concerns, says the summary by Abraham Donko.
Vice President Pakuse Emisa Afa has called on Ghanaians to vote massively for the NDC to continue to bring the needed improvement in their lives. He said the Better Ghana agenda begun by Professor Tamils would be continued by President John Mahama. He said this when he addressed a Deba at Isiama in the Western Region in honor of his wife Matilda Emisa Afa. Majority leader Kletus Avoka has denied allegations that he is frustrating the work of the Committee on Subsidiary Legislation. His comments came after the chairman of the committee, Kwame Osei-Prempeh, raised concerns over obstacles delaying the presentation of the committee's report, which he says has been ready since Monday. Imani Ghana has raised concerns over the single spine pay policy, describing it as diversionary. Executive Director of Imani Ghana, Franklin Kujo, expressed the concern last night on our current affairs program Behind the News. Sudan and South Sudan have signed agreements to demilitarize their border and resume the transportation of southern oil through the north. The agreements were signed after 4 days of intense talks between their negotiating teams. The deals meant that oil production can resume, with the South paying transit fees to use northern pipelines. And the United States says it is temporarily removing more staff from its embassy in the Libyan capital Tripoli for security reasons. The decision followed the murder of the U.S. ambassador to Libya on September 11. The attack follows protests triggered by an amateur film made in the U.S. which mocks Islam. The State Department says it will review the posture again early next week with a goal of restoring staff as soon as conditions allow.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information. Vice President Pakuse Emisa Afa says the aim of the NDC in the December elections is to chalk up a one-third decisive victory with a margin of 75%. He has therefore called on the rank and file of the party to bury their differences and forge ahead in unity for the December elections. This is because in unity lies strength. Addressing NDC supporters at Agunankwanta, Vice President Emisa Afa said the NDC is a very big family, ready and willing to resolve all internal grievances. He has the parliamentary candidate for Hunter West, George Abuaji, constituency executives as well as opinion leaders of the area to settle their differences immediately. Mr. Abuaji, who is also the chief executive of the Ghana Investment Promotion Center, offered an olive branch to those who are grieved because of him. The wife of the vice president, Mrs. Matilda Emisa Afa, asked the people to vote massively for President Mahama and Mr. Abuaji. He said the NDC has better policies and programs to equip the youth with skills. In another development, Vice President Emisa Afa has assured the people and chiefs of Jomoro that the area still remains prominent in the country's gas industry. He said the factory which has been relocated from Jomoro is just 10% of the entire sector. Government will therefore ensure that all the other projects earmarked for the area are established. Vice President Emisa Afa asked the people to continue to have faith in the NDC and vote massively for the party in December. The vice president gave the assurance when he addressed the people at Hafasni.
We will do what is dear to your heart if re-elected in December 2012. We have heard also about the problem of relocating the gas factory. We shall address that properly. The road towards the border too is not good. We have heard your complaint. We will work hard to put the road in shape. You know that road was done by PNDP, NDP. We shall fix it. We shall also continue to work hard to create jobs for the youth. Very soon, the jobs will be available for the jobless to get something to do.
The flag bearer of the NPP, Nana Adetonkwe Akufo-Addo, yesterday received a rousing welcome in the Ashanti region on the first day of its Restoration of Hope tour. Nana Addo began his tour in the Ofenso South constituency, where he asked the electorate to ignore what he calls ugly noises, that the free FHS is not possible, and vote massively for the party to implement it. Brighton Trauma has more.
The official staff constituency in Ashanti region was shaken to its roots as some political bigwigs of the NPP led by its flag bearer Nana Akufo-Addo stormed the area to assure the people of the party's commitment to restore hope to Ghanaians when given the mandate to lead the country in the 2012 elections. Walking through the principal streets and some farming communities in the constituency, the presence of the presidential hopeful attracted scores of people who rushed to catch a glimpse of Nana Akufo-Addo, with traders, drivers and school children joining what could be described as the biggest gathering of people in the constituency in recent times. Addressing students and teachers of St. Jerome's Senior High School at Ofenso, Nana Addo reassured them that the free SHS policy will be implemented if elected into office.
Anybody who has 10 years, a minimum of 10 years in the public sector, I'm talking about in the public sector education, will be eligible to have a mortgage supported by the government to build a house for themselves anywhere in the country, Wales or anywhere of their choice. We start to work out these things. These are some of the measures we want to bring in to motivate teachers, as well as also giving them access to further training easily and all of the distance and learning, etc. So there are packets of measures that we are putting down, and we hope that they will inspire our teachers so that the very difficult task we have of giving education to our people, we can succeed in it. As far as I'm concerned, the teachers of our country hold the key to the development of our nation. If they work constructively, Ghana will develop. If they don't, we will continue to remain that way. So that's why we came here to visit you, introduce ourselves to you, and assure you that the next NPP government, God willing, is going to be a teachers government.
He told the students and teachers that with the policy, teachers will be adequately taken care, as the party has a comprehensive package that will make teachers access mortgage after 10 years in service.
That was Brighton Trauma's report. The executive director of IDEC, Dr. Emmanuel Akwiti, has lauded civil society groups for mobilizing and acting as watchdog over political parties in the build-up to the general elections in December. This, he says, translates into positive vigilance. Speaking on GTV's election platform, which focused on peaceful elections 2012, the civil society's perspective, Dr. Akwiti called on civil societies to do more to keep every stakeholder vigilant to his all forms of violence in the run-up to the elections.
Civil society has positioned itself. In fact, the tension they created with their bad behavior, you know, in terms of the insults and things like that we didn't like, which society roundly condemned, I think it made them realize that civil society actually has emerged as the neutral force. Mm-hmm. It stood between them, intermediating and so on and so forth. But I think it's also made the parties realize that, look, we need votes, every vote counts, and we have to be responsive. So we are becoming more responsive. Then you do have the IEM for committee, or you know, they just don't spare them and so on. So there's a lot of pressure on the parties, and at the same time it's not just condemning them or telling them to be of good behavior, but also platforms are being opened for them to move into issues. You have the media, you have the IEA platforms, they also do, and a whole lot of others which are being created. So by and they are being done by civil society, not the parties themselves creating the platform and so on. So there's a certain constructive role. Then you see the peace initiative. On the peace issues, you again find that not just the religious leaders, other NGOs have been involved. They are issuing statements, engaging the police, and so on and so forth. So we are fortunate to have civil society in their diversity committing to a common purpose.
Dr. Emmanuel Akwete, you also praised the media for giving smaller parties the opportunity to also sell the ideas. This, he said, is a good sign.
Sometimes I think that it gets a bit overdone. The program host not being able to enforce a certain code, and either by cutting people off or taking them off, and
the late broadcasting,
which I think they didn't prepare themselves for. So the language thing, you know, the insult, the disrespect, and so on and so forth. But I think what I admired about the media was that when our late president passed on, and the parties took the lead and said, oh, we are suspending campaigns and so on. The media acquiesced. Okay, they also did not give the space for anybody to come in. Yeah, but they conformed. And that's 2 to 3 weeks where we saw that, at least you could hear other things, like just insults and tension and so on. I thought the media contributed to a large extent. And it also manifested their power. I mean, they've always shown that every politician wants the public space. And we are, as a people, we listen to radio more than we read the newspapers. So the media space is good. And that's enormous power. And there was a feeling that the media was actually very partisan, you know, had become. And what you hear is that were the stations, many of them are owned.
Executive Director of IDEC, Dr. Emmanuel Akwete. Also on the program was Dr. Franklin Odro from the CVD. He said one of the greatest assets that any democracy can have is a free media. He said everything should be done to protect and guard the media to live up to expectations.
Let me just cite the work being done by Media Foundation for West Africa as an example. And I think the naming and sharing is one aspect of civil society engagement in media. The point needs to be made that one of the greatest assets that any democracy can have is a free media. And I think we should defend that and we should protect that. But we also know that the media can be an instrument for causing chaos. I think the civil society groups, and again, the media can also be described as civil society in a way. But I think they have to see themselves as partners of defending this country, playing the constructive role by now using the platform provided to them by the Constitution to create havoc. And I think that is one thing that I want to see them do more.
Dr. Odro also lauded the media for giving smaller parties space to sell the ideas. He asked hosts of programs to skew their questions towards what political parties would do for the country when elected into power. This bulletin of news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. Vice President Mr. Afa asked people of Western Region to vote massively for NDC to continue laudable programs and the Better Ghana agenda. Institute of Democratic Governance, IDEC, praises civil society groups for vigilance in country's democratic experiment. Majority leader denies impeding work of committee on subsidiary legislation. Imani Ghana says single spine pay policy is diversionary. Sudan and South Sudan reach comprehensive agreement to demilitarize their border and resume transportation of oil through northern pipelines. Israel says time is running out for the world to stop Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons, but Tehran warns of massive retaliation if attacked. And U.S. State Department withdraws more staff from Libya over security concerns. Do stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The rest of the news. Activities in Hafa's knee came to a standstill when Vice President Pakwesi Imisa Afa arrived in the town and paid a courtesy call on the Omahene. The people went into a frenzy when the Vice President walked from the Chief's Palace to the police park to address the crowd. At the Chief's Palace, Vice President Imisa Afa reiterated the need for the elections to be peaceful. He said the government will not relent in its efforts to make it a memorable one.
We are praying to the Almighty God to give us a chance to continue to work hard. Like Aulan said, the contest is not a fact. It's a contest by you. We have a track record right from the days of ODBC to the NDC. We know our situation. The Ghanaian elected to vote for us.
CNDC Bay, NDC Bay. Vice President Emisa Afa. He's been accompanied by the Minister of Education, Lee Okran, MP for Elemble, Emmanuel Amakufibua, Western Regional Minister Evans Paul Edu, and the Chief Executive of the Ghana Gas Company, George Sitayanki. Vice President Pakwesi Emisa Afa has called on Ghanaians to vote massively for the NDC because it has the men, women, and good policies and programs to continue bringing the needed development in their lives. He said the Better Ghana agenda began by Professor Atta Mills and will be continued by President John Mahama, addressing a day by in honor of his wife, Mrs. Matilda Emisa Afa Atisiama. Vice President Emisa Afa described President Mahama's speech at the UN as fantastic.
And Queen Mother and the Elders, I thank you very much. 2009 has not been completed. He has passed on the baton to John Dramani Mahama. John has the energy and the dynamism to continue this work to its successful end. Those of you who saw our president on TV, he was fantastic.
Vice President Pakwesi Emisa Afa. Mrs. Emisa Afa asked the people to vote for the NDC so that the Western region will continue to enjoy unprecedented development. The Chief of the Defense Staff, Lieutenant General Peter Augustine Blee, says the conduct of a successful election is a shared responsibility of all stakeholders. Briefing the National Peace Council on their role in the upcoming elections, Lieutenant General Blee said the armed forces have already produced a draft operational instrument manual for the 2012 elections and have also undertaken nationwide joint police-military exercises to adequately prepare personnel. Georgette Cole has more.
The 2012 general election is among the most important operations to be undertaken by the Ghana Armed Forces in conjunction with the police and other security services. The military will assist civilian authorities to elect a president and members of parliament. Lieutenant General Blee said the Ghana Armed Forces will jointly train personnel from police and other security agencies at regional, district and national levels by the end of next month to ensure efficiency. He said the Ghana Police Service will play a lead role and will be supported by the armed forces. General Blaze said a joint military and police committee has been set up to formulate a standard operating procedure to streamline and ensure effective military and police operations. He said the standards of operations has been studied by the High Command for approval and implementation before elections. The CDS noted that both the military and police will provide a secure environment for smooth campaign by all political parties. In this regard, the Ghana Armed Forces have acquired vehicles, communication equipment, and is expecting helicopters before election day.
Georgette Cole reporting. The Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, Samuel Okufosu Ampofo, has debunked the notion that the ministry created the 46 districts to compel the EC to create constituencies. He noted that the EC is an independent body which operates exclusively without external influence. Mr. Ofosuampofo made this comment when he took his turn at the media press series in Accra. He said only 20 constituencies have been created out of the newly created districts. The remaining 25 constituencies were created as a result of population growth. The majority leader, Cletus Avoca, says he's not an obstacle to the work of the Committee on Subsidiary Legislation. He said this after the chairman of the committee, Kwame Osei-Prempe, raised concern over when the report will be laid. Mr. Osei-Prempe said the committee's report had been ready since Monday, but it has still not been factored into the business of the House.
The CI-70A, Education Conference, was referred to the committee. The committee finished its work. The report has been ready for the past 4 days. But it was to be late to Sugar Village on Monday, but it was not. Later, I got to know that the majority leader intervened that some members of the committee wanted to look at it. The issue was resolved, and on Tuesday, the thing was ready to be laid. And it was also laid. A few days ago, I walked to the office, the table office, and presented the three, the two names this morning, and that's one. So, the impression I'm getting is that the majority leader does not want that is going to be laid.
Kwame Osei-Prempeh said, if he's the chairman of a subsidiary legislation committee, Mr. Kletu's Avoka, however, says there's no motive behind the delay in laying the report. He said the committee did not withdraw its attention to its readiness when the business statement was being prepared for this week.
Mr. Speaker, there are rules and regulations guiding business in this house. The business committee of which I chair programs the business of this house week by week. The CI and the reference was not discussed by the business committee last week, and therefore is not in the business statement for last week ending this weekend. So if a chairman of a committee wants a matter that had not been programmed by the business committee to be taken, he should consult the chairman of the business committee or the leader of the house to indicate that this report is ready. He wants to find out whether it can be taken or not.
Majority Leader Kletu Savoka. Meanwhile, the First Deputy Speaker of Parliament, Edward Do Ajahu, has called on the leadership of the House to direct a private newspaper to publish a rejoinder to a publication he described as false. According to him, the publication quoted wrong figures as the amount Parliament is using to furnish Job 600. The matter was raised by the MP for Ningo Pampam, E.T. Mensah, who said the matter needs to be addressed by the Privileges Committee. Public sector workers have for some time now been receiving their pay under the single spine salary structure being implemented by the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. But policy think tank Imani Ghana is raising concerns about the new pay structure, describing it as diversionary. Speaking on Behind the News, our current affairs program last night, Executive Director of Imani Ghana, Franklin Kujo, explains his concerns.
One of the cardinal reasons of having a salary scheme as universal as the one we have should be dependent on the productivity of labor. I mean, there is no science anywhere in the world that people would have to work, and even they are deferring, should I say, levels of productivity, they should be paid the same. Any salary structure that decides that if your brother, for instance, someone who chills the earth for a living, however backbreaking that is, and someone who works in a radio station, for instance, in your case, handling this very entertaining and educative program, should be paid the same amount of money. I mean, that science in itself is dead. It is statist, it is backward, but unfortunately, that is what the issues surrounding equalization is all about. So the problem we are going to have in the future, and as already we started having in the single spine, is that it defies economic reasoning. It is to say it's appealing to workers to feel that, well, there's a good feel factor and we are being appreciated.
Executive Director of Imani Ghana, Franklin Kujo. In reaction, Deputy Minister of Finance and Economic Planning, Sepepe, described as unfortunate Imani's concern, which is coming after 3.5 years of implementing the new pay policy. He said what Imani is doing is an attempt to confuse the public. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Sepepe took time to explain the single spine salary process.
I think it's unfortunate that 2.5 years on, after the first time implementation started, Imani should be coming in this late day when the migration and payment of arrears are almost completed for them to be confusing the general public. You know, excuse my language. The first time salary is a policy. It is not the salary scheme for the government. I think I heard him using June. The salary scheme for the public service is determined through the Tripartite Commission. And so, the Tripartite Committee comprising government as an employer, labor, and employers. So, I think it is very important that we understand that we have had a salary scheme for public service in place. Just as we did with previous consolidation of salaries and with previous rationalization, all that the single spine is doing is looking at the relativity. Indeed, it is important. Improving productivity, that is the irony, between employee A and employee B.
Deputy Minister of Finance and Economic Planning, Sepepe. A joint delegation from the AU and ECOWAS has called on the acting Speaker of Parliament, Eduardo Ajao, the spokesperson for the panel of the wives of the AU and ECOWAS, Brigelius Ban, said the group's mission is to ascertain the level of preparation of the country for the 2012 elections. He said the group will be meeting with various stakeholders during its stay in the country. The death is announced of Ibrahim Hollison, formerly of GBC Radio. He passed away yesterday at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital in Accra. Mr. Hollison has since been buried in accordance with Islamic practice. On the international front, Sudan and South Sudan have signed agreements to demilitarize their border and resume the transport of southern oil through the north. The agreements, however, did not deal with the oil-producing Abyei region and several other disputed border regions. President Omar al-Bashir of Sudan and President Salva Kiir of South Sudan reached the agreements after 4 days of intense talks between their negotiating teams. Both countries have now promised to pull their troops back to 10 kilometers from the border. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has urged the world to draw a red line over Iran's nuclear program. In a speech at the UN, Mr. Netanyahu said time is running out to stop Tehran from having enough enriched uranium to build a nuclear bomb. Israel and Western countries suspect Iran is seeking such a capability, but Iran has denied the allegation, saying its nuclear program is peaceful. Mr. Netanyahu told delegates at the annual meeting of the assembly that Iran could have enough material to make a nuclear bomb by the middle of next year, adding that sanctions passed over the past 7 years had not affected Iran's nuclear program. And the United States says it is temporarily removing more staff from its embassy in the Libyan capital, Tripoli. It says staff were being withdrawn from Tripoli for security reasons. The U.S. ambassador to Libya was killed in what the U.S. Defense Secretary has described as a terrorist attack in Benghazi on September 11. The attack followed protests triggered by an amateur film made in the U.S. which mocks Islam. Protests against the film, frequently held on Fridays, have spread across the Muslim world. To end the news, the main points again. Vice President Inisa Afa has called on Ghanaians to vote massively for the NDC to continue to bring the needed development in their lives. He said this when he addressed a Deba at Isiama in the Western region in honor of his wife Matilda Inisa Afa. Majority leader Kletus Avoka has denied allegations that he's impeding the work of the Subsidiary Legislation Committee of Parliament. His comments follow concerns by the chairman of the committee, Kwame Osei Prempeh, that the committee delay in presenting his report, which he said had been already since Monday. And the United States has temporarily removed more staff from its embassy in the Libyan capital, Tripoli, for security reasons. The State Department says it will review the decision again early next week with the goal of restoring staff as soon as security in Libya improves. And that ends the news broadcast on Radio Ghana, Accra.